CliffCentral.com.
Because you're really, really not pretty.
The Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Better late than never, but we're here. I filled in this interesting thing yesterday about which political candidates in America I'd vote for if I voted there now. I actually put it up on Facebook because I thought it was pretty interesting. And because I'm not really embarrassed about the results that came through. Do you know who I'd vote for?
Crooked Hillary.
Trump.
No. You both are so wrong. You think you know me. You don't know me at all.
I get it. You asked us to guess, so we're guessing.
Yeah, your guesses are terrible. I thought you two knew me.
There's only two people in this race.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there aren't actually. Yeah. There's more.
What? No, now I'm confused.
Yeah, I mean, there's the independent candidates, the Green Party, there's the Libertarian Party.
That's like saying the DACA party's in the running.
Yeah, they don't count.
Okay. Here it is. 83% of the issues, I side with a guy called Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian. I side with him on domestic policy, economic policy, social policy, healthcare, education, and science. My next closest match, do you want to guess who that is?
Trump.
No, my buddy. You really don't know me.
What people really care about is if you're Crooked Hillary or you're Trump. It's one of the two.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second.
Who knows these other people are?
We'll wait. So 73% after Gary Johnson, I agree with Bernie Sanders.
Old Bernie.
A good old Bernie. Number three on my list, if I had to vote in America now. So number one was Gary Johnson. Nobody's ever heard of him except me. Second, Bernie Sanders, who's on the left. And then Jill Stein comes in at number three. She's the Green Party candidate. I'm 72% with her.
How long was this questionnaire?
Oh, it was long. You have to fill in a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And then number four is Donald Trump at 68%. But compare that. I mean, he's only at 68. Gary Johnson's at 83%, Bernie Sanders 73%, and Jill Stein 72%. And then Crooked Hillary comes in at 63. So if it's down to Crooked Hillary or Donald Trump, it looks like I agree with Donald by 5% more than I do Hillary.
I was watching Crooked Hillary the other day as she was waving and talking to people.
Yeah.
She's a robot. There's no way that's a human being.
You know what it is? Like, I don't dislike Hillary. Like, I don't have an issue with her. A lot of people are very mean about Hillary because either they didn't like Bill, or they feel that maybe it's just plain old sexism. I mean, I think that's the case for a lot of guys, that they don't like Hillary. Now, I'm not saying this is true for you, Ben.
Yeah, well, it isn't. It's just that, have you heard her laugh?
And then, of course, we have Crooked Hillary. Crooked Hillary, fuck.
Look, yeah. You know I'm indifferent about all these people. I think they're all piss takers. But you listen to Crooked Hillary laugh, and you watch her in public, and there's no way it's a human being.
Is that her?
Do you mean in the same way that Stepford Wives were not human beings?
Yeah, also
they were
bots.
Also robots.
Yeah. Domestic bots. She's a political bot.
Yeah.
And you can see she's totally ambitious. And the thing I think that puts people off of Hillary is that she's an establishment politician. You know, her whole life she's pretty much been in public service, which means she's never really earned her own money. It's the reason we don't like so many people in politics in this country. You almost wish, you know, when America started, you know what happened? The politicians were at 4. I think it was a couple of months of every year they'd be politicians, but the rest of the year they'd be farmers or doctors or lawyers or shopkeepers or whatever else. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Because then for half the year, they're in with the people and they're doing their thing. And they're actually meeting ordinary people and doing normal stuff. And then for the other half of the year, they're in Washington making laws. And that's how they started. Obviously, there are all kinds of practicalities involved now that make it a little bit difficult to do that. But I really think politicians should actually have jobs. Like, they should do work. Because politics isn't work. Making speeches and voting on things is not work. And maybe that's the solution. But there we are. So if you've always wanted to know what I really think, and I wish we had a thing that would help us to calculate what we stand for in South Africa.
A politician needs to have something first.
I'm gonna find a good coder and see what, according to the manifestos of the various parties, what people would end up voting. Because I wonder, I mean, I met a guy yesterday who was telling me how, and he didn't say who he's voting for. Which is also interesting, because in South Africa, we don't really always like to admit who we vote for. You know, it's for some people, it's a very personal decision. And for some people, it's also got ramifications. Like, if you say who you vote for, people put you in that box forever.
Yeah, it's we become very judgmental when you discover who somebody has voted for.
Like, if you discovered, for example, that I had been voting EFF, what would you think of me?
I wouldn't think anything.
A lot of people would, though.
Of course, a lot of people would. If I admitted that I voted for the DA, a lot of people would be like, oh.
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And they'd start treating you differently.
Yes.
And I wonder, even if you could keep the results of this quiz private, and you didn't share them like I did the US quiz yesterday, I wonder what people would end up, in terms of the issues. I wonder where they'd go on that scale.
I think also in this country, there's a large number of people who don't always know who they're going to vote for. And a questionnaire like that might be useful.
Yeah, I mean, it asks all kinds of questions, like about gun laws, about Obamacare. It asks some of them you need to know about. Do you want to hear some of the questions?
Sure.
And let's see if what you would answer. I mean, you don't have to tell me who you'd vote for. But I think this could be interesting. And what they do is then they compile some interesting statistical data on the back of the survey, which tells you what Americans care about. And that, for me, is almost more fascinating. So it's called isidewith.com. Okay? 37 million people have used isidewith to find their candidate match. And if you look at things like abortion, for example, out of everybody of those 37,000 people they surveyed, 63% of them are pro-choice, and only 37% are pro-life.
Okay.
You know, and I would imagine that most of the women are on 63% pro-choice side. And I would imagine that the 37% is made up mostly of very religious people. An issue like gun control?
Well, it's a very contentious topic in that country, isn't it?
36% say there should be more restrictions on the current process of purchasing a gun. And I would be in that category too. And I think, Mubs, you would be. Ben, I assume you would be too. Peshita, you'd probably be, right? More control on guns?
Yep. Definitely, totally.
Yeah, we shouldn't just have them so easy to get hold of. And in this country, they aren't as easy to get hold of. Flax, what would you do?
Well, it's definitely more gun control. Someone released a list the other day of things that are easier to get than a gun. And the list was very small.
Now, you can do two kinds of quiz here. The first one is a kind of surface one. It's not so in-depth. And the other one is a very detailed one where you answer every question. So I did the very detailed one.
Mm.
So I could get an accurate reading on which candidate is mine. You know?
Mm.
And, okay, here are some questions. Try this out quickly. Social issues. What is your stand on abortion? Pro-choice, pro-life, or something else?
Pro-choice.
Do which one?
Pro-choice.
Okay, so all of you would say pro-choice. Do you support the legalization of same-sex marriage?
Yep.
Yes.
And by the way, you can also move on a scale how important the issue is to you. So if it's really important to you, you can say most important, or more important, or somewhat important, less, or least important. So in other words, if you're one of those people who doesn't really care about social issues, you'll move it to least.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't think government should really be legislating about this stuff anyway. It should just be accepted that everyone can get married. All right. Should the government continue to fund Planned Parenthood, which is basically that government should allow people to either be sterilized if they want to be sterilized, that government should allow people to find out more about safe sex if they want to find out more, to help young girls avoid becoming pregnant if they don't want to become pregnant, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's also the whole disease thing, so there's lots of good education.
I think all of us would be on that one too. So far we're very socially liberal.
But
right?
Does that not mean government must pay as well? Must they just stand by it, or must they pay as well?
No, they'd have to pay to fund Planned Parenthood, which means there are those Planned Parenthood clinics all over the place. They do a little bit of actual birth control and abortion, but the rest is mostly education.
But then, what was that first thing? Sequestration or something?
Abortion.
No, where...
Sterilization.
Sterilization. Why should the government pay for you to get sterilized?
Well, for a lot of people, that's the way that they can keep themselves from having to have another man's child that they didn't want to have, basically.
Couldn't you use a condom?
Yeah, but sometimes there are complicated factors at play here. Like, maybe the guy is an abusive dude, and, you know.
And he forces himself on you every other night.
Oh, okay.
It's not always black and white, you know. All right, how about these? Should the government increase environmental regulations to prevent climate change?
Yes. Otherwise, we're screwed.
Well, yeah, it's a progressive move forward, sure.
Because we're not doing it, so they have to do it.
Right. Would you vote for more offshore drilling or less offshore drilling?
Less, because there's so many other ways to get energy and power and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Should the government raise the minimum wage? Let's think about that in this in our context in South Africa.
Yes, we can't live off minimum wage.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's tricky because when you increase minimum wage, where are you getting the increase from?
And not only that,
but you're
counting a whole lot of people out of employment because if they're too expensive then to employ for very menial jobs, no one's going to pay them. So unemployment will go up if you push the minimum wage up too much.
What about the other effects that people now have more spending money?
Yeah, but someone has got to put that money in for it to come out in minimum wage, right?
I'm sort of like a...
I mean, employers then have to pay more. Like, if you're a fast food worker, for example.
Mm?
In America, this is a big deal. Fast food workers get a minimum wage. Because you work at a McDonald's or a Burger King. Their argument is, I can't support my family on the kind of money you pay me to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And the argument from people on the other side is, well, if you work at McDonald's, you shouldn't have five kids. It's nobody's responsibility to look after those kids. It's yours.
Mm.
You know, those are the arguments. Anyway, should welfare recipients be tested for drugs?
For drugs?
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Should people who are on welfare be tested for drugs?
Because no.
They're leeching off the state, essentially, a lot of these people. I mean, if you look at England, right? England, prime example.
Yeah.
So if they're sitting at home and just shooting up, then they shouldn't qualify for welfare. With someone who's maybe injured or cannot work, who is... They can't be lumped in the same bracket.
That's the same as...
But what business does the government have with whether or not you take drugs?
Yeah, but you're asking the government to support you. So it's like if I go stay at your house, Gareth, because I'm homeless, but I start doing heroin in your lounge, that's not so nice, is it?
Exactly.
You have the right to then tell me, you know what, Ben, how about you piss off with your drug habit ways?
But are we now also not bordering on a type of discrimination against people on welfare?
Or against people on drugs.
That's like saying, you know? If you're on welfare, you're not allowed to have cold drink in your house. And if the government comes around and inspects your house and you have cold drink, you're kicked off welfare.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've got 17 litres of sugary drinks also, you're done.
All right, so Ben definitely splits off from us on this issue. You see, everyone's going to split off on some issue.
Yeah.
All right, let's try this one. Are you in favor of decriminalizing drugs?
Sure.
Yes.
Not all drugs, but some drugs.
Nice. Oh, here's where Peshitta and Flax split off.
Okay, marijuana maybe, but cocaine and other hardcore drugs, no.
Yeah, I vote marijuana legalized, right. The other drugs not.
Bye-bye, Flax. Bye-bye, Peshitta. We've already said goodbye to Ben on the issue of welfare and drug testing. Okay.
You know what? I think we should more decriminalization of drugs because those prescription painkillers that your doctor writes you a note for that you end up getting addicted on,
just as dangerous as
cocaine. Just as dangerous.
Yeah. But just so I don't sound too contradictory, I think people shouldn't be encouraged to be on welfare.
Ben, you've already said what you think.
I know. I'm just
can't
saying.
Change your mind now.
People shouldn't think that I'm on welfare. I'm good
ben,
now.
Ben X marks the spot. Yeah. You've already put your mark.
You, Peshitta, and Flax have moved off the reserve.
I'm in. I'm just saying, decriminalize drugs, but like, in contrast to the other thing, people shouldn't be encouraged to go on welfare.
A lot of people would agree with you. And also, what you're basically saying is that there should be, if you're going to take government money, you need to tick certain boxes.
Yes.
All right. Should you need an ID photo to vote?
An ID photo?
Yeah.
Yes.
So currently, you don't need an ID photo, hey?
Well, in South Africa, you do. You need you need to show your ID.
Yes.
You know, but in America, you don't need your ID photo to vote.
Oh,
you just
goodness.
Have to be on the voter's roll.
Oh, that sounds a little
bit. And they just look at you, and you can use your driver's license, for example.
Oh.
Let's go to Kerry quickly, and then we'll come back to this. But so far, it's little things like this that are a big deal in America. I don't know if all of these issues would be a big deal in South Africa. We'd have different issues. Mm. That's for sure. Kerry, good morning.
Morning, Gareth. I'm sure I call in too often and message to you if you guys feel like family.
Not at all. Don't ever apologize. Go ahead.
I decided last night I definitely needed to call in. Other than my husband, there are very few people who are willing to engage in educated discussions. We have gone through quite a bit of change over the last week. We, after hearing you guys chat about milk production a couple of months ago, I'll be honest, I didn't go into the details. I found it too disturbing to know too much, but to know that there was cruelty going on was enough for me to come home with some almond milk, and my husband was not very keen to switch to anything other than dairy produced by cows.
Yeah.
But he then watched a Netflix documentary on the weekend just about animal production and how it's been covered up that actually the production of meat, it contributes more to global warming than anything else, over 50% more.
Right.
And that recycling, et cetera, is futile, and that the biggest impact we could each have is to halt the massive meat production, obviously, then either be vegetarian or vegan. So we're going down that road. I'm sure you'll be proud of us.
Look at you guys.
So that was the one big milestone. But then I watched another documentary last night, and this is local Netflix content. I called you guys the other day about the hackers. It was an interesting one we had watched. But I watched one called Zeitgeist last night. And I would love you to watch it.
I have seen it.
Have you?
Yeah, I've seen it. There's a lot of conspiracy theory in there, but there's also some thought-provoking stuff. I won't lie.
Terribly thought-provoking. I must say, I've woken up finding myself questioning whether there's a place for religion in my life. Many years ago, I worked for a church I was attending for a year. Needless to say, after being inside of a church and seeing what went on, I no longer attend. But I would say that I would have considered myself a believer up until last night and watching the episode of that. Just curious to hear what your thoughts are.
You know, Kerry, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, and you've pretty much told us a short but powerful story here. You know, the definition of intelligence to me is being able to change your position when you get better information. Mm. Now I am not a vegetarian or a vegan. I eat meat. I like to eat meat. It's a purely selfish endeavor. What I realize, though, from the outset is that is not the conscious, smart, educated position to take. And I'm so proud of what you do, what Ben does, what a lot of people, my sister is a vegetarian. I think that's the way of the future. And if I can give the millennial generation any credit, it's also for the fact that they think about these things and they care about these things. Not only from the point of view that it's much more economically sensible to be a vegan or a vegetarian, but also because you're doing something with an eye on the future, which is a much better way to live. So I congratulate you on that. And when it comes to religion, it's everybody's choice and decision. It's got nothing to do with me. I don't go around trying to evangelize for a religion or for the absence of a religion. I just think that you've got to do what you feel is right and what you can go to sleep at night knowing that you've done the conscientious thing about. And if you've decided to move away from organized religion, that's your business too. I think more and more people are, if you look at the statistics, all over the world, except for places where people are terribly oppressed. They're able to move further and further away from religion and more to places where they are compassionate people, but they don't require a whole lot of nonsense religion to replace their own accountability for morality. Do you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have to use a book to tell you that it's wrong to chop off another person's arm. You shouldn't have to use a list of old commandments to know that it's wrong to sleep with another man's wife. These are things that good people should know, and probably do know, long before religion comes into their lives.
Well, I love what you guys do, just encouraging conversation and remove the emotion out of it. I'm in a senior position in business, and so I've had to learn to, you know, you can have your emotional moment, but then it must be moved aside and we must deal with facts when you make a business decision. You know, you never act on emotion. But it's impossible to have those discussions with people. I mean, I wouldn't tell my best friend what I told you guys this morning. She's a church-going girl. I think she wouldn't cope without religion in her life. Yeah. And I wish we could all just engage a little bit more and just push each other's boundaries and just have discussions, but as you always say, based on facts. So yeah. For me, with Zeitgeist, those comparisons that were made with religions before Christ's time, in inverted commas, I didn't know about it, so I was ignorant, you know, but as soon as you're armed with the facts, then surely it's time to have an open discussion. I was keen to chat to you because you're a really educated historian. My husband also is very,
don't give me too much credit now, you'll end up hurting us both.
You're good from knowing history, and a lot of us aren't, you know, and if we could just chat a little bit more around the facts, it would be great. Just yesterday, the lady in my office was taking our orders for milk, so I said to her, can't you try throwing some soy milk for me? And she had a chirp about, the soy forest, the rainforest and all the soy farms. And so I said to her, okay, we'll throw in some almond milk. But she immediately became defensive as well, because then I said to her, no, actually, you know, it's for feed. But then she didn't want to know. She wanted to throw a little dig in, but then she didn't want to engage, you know, and she became
Notice I don't argue with vegans and vegetarians anymore, because I know I will lose. I'm at the wrong end of that argument, and I accept right from the start. The only reason I still eat meat is because I'm a selfish prick. But I will not take on an argument with a vegetarian or vegan, because they'll win. They're on the right side of it. And by the way,
but we also wouldn't try and evangelize either. You know, the journey through this life is our own individual one, but surely we're better off if we deal with facts and discuss.
All right, the cows.
So I love you guys.
The cows, thank you. Thank you, Kerry. Thank you. Thank you very much, Kerry. There we go. How's that, Mubs?
Yeah, well, there you go.
You want to hear some more ideas here? Do we wrap it up quickly? Because we've got to get to Ben's sport. Should we accept refugees from Zimbabwe, or if you're in America, Syria? What's your position?
My position here is, you know, if we keep talking about being part of the global community, then it becomes problematic when you then decide, but people from X and people from Y, we don't really want them in our backyard.
It's tough,
but,
right?
But then we keep talking about, oh no, we're a global community.
Yeah, but we must have reality shows. Like, do you think you're an American or whatever? Then they must go through a criteria. So they must bring a skill, be decent people.
Well, this is interesting. Should they assimilate into American society? Or in our case, should people who come here from other countries, should they be forced to speak English or Zulu, you know? Should they be forced to learn those languages if they go to school here?
Their children will grow up learning those languages because they'll have to. That'll be part of their survival. But I don't know that we should force people to assimilate to that extent.
All right. Mubs is still on the reserve.
They could destroy your entire culture in your land.
Well, this is the thing, Flax. So you would probably be...
Okay, Donald.
So, Flax, you'd be again... No, again, let's not blackball people, if you know what I mean.
Think of if Americans all moved into China, they would Americanize the whole of China and take away culture.
Okay, so you would say limited refugees.
Limited and controlled. So, sort of like, we allow them in, but we separate them from our country.
What do you mean, like concentration camps?
No. Like, we house you for a bit, and then you go back to your country.
You mean you'll help? You'll be willing to assist. But these people don't want to go back to their country.
Yeah, you see, these people are running away from something.
Yeah, Syria's not going through a bad patch, Michael. It's bad.
It's not going to suddenly get better. Like, they're going to fix Syria in the next 3 years.
It's like a bad head.
I mean, for Syrians, a lot of the time, it's the difference between life and death. It really does come down to that.
So there's no halfway point. You either accept or you don't accept.
Either your borders are open to refugees or your borders are shut. What's it going to be, Flex? What would you choose if you were the president?
Well, if I was the president, I'd think of the best of my nation.
Yeah.
But then I'd also have to help other nations because...
No. Don't feel bad. Do what you feel is right. You're being voted for by the people of your country.
I'd end up accepting refugees.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if those refugees come to my country and my country's well-controlled and I have good infrastructure in place, those refugees can help my country. They won't destroy my country.
But, I also question whether or not people aren't being fanatic about this conclusion that refugees bring problems into your country.
Well, they do mostly because... If you take the fundamental evidence, they're leaving their country. They can't leave with very much.
Yeah, no, right. They're running away.
Yeah, they're refugees. They're not just immigrants. They're not just, you know, rich people with tons of money and tons of degrees that are coming into your country to add high skills. They are running away from some other place because it's absolutely shit.
Yes, yes.
So they're coming in because it's horrible where they were, and therefore you can make the assumption that it's not going to be easy for them.
Yeah, but people...
Someone's going to have to support them.
But people are also making it seem as though refugees come into your country to steal jobs. Yeah. No, they don't. They end up doing the most menial of things because they have to start from scratch.
No, that's true. And how many of those people can you accommodate to the problem when you're sitting in a country like ours with 26% unemployment?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But the other thing to think about here, again, like a country like ours, is how do the masses, the people who maybe are unemployed, how do they accept refugees? So it's not just about bringing them in because of judging them.
I mean,
it's judging how the population will assimilate
and
with them.
And in our country, we do not, no matter how much we want to
haven't
be better.
Haven't got a great track record there.
No, we're a bunch of xenophobic bigots when it comes to foreigners.
Yeah, we are.
And I mean, look at whose shops get looted whenever there's any excuse for someone to misbehave. Foreigners. Mm.
So the refugees can be as good as you can hope for, but how does it translate to your country, your people?
Yeah, this All is right. a difficult one.
Well, listen, I think it would be worth compiling a quiz like this for South Africa, and we must add different issues in there, like land. We must add in issues like, for example, the unions. We should add in issues like corruption, because I think those are uniquely South African issues, and I wonder where that would put most of us on the scale. I'm going to find a good... software developer, and we'll put this thing together before the elections.
Customary law, that stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
That stuff Number is very unique wives. To us.
Yeah. Yes, Flex.
Out of interest, which first world country doesn't accept refugees?
UAE. They don't want you.
The
refugees.
UAE does. I don't think Switzerland does either.
What about Dubai?
Oh, that's UAE.
Yeah, UAE. That's. They're actually, you'd be surprised. There are quite a few. I don't think Japan takes on too many refugees.
I don't think the Vatican does either.
No, the Vatican absolutely wouldn't. No. They've got nowhere to put them.
No.
I mean, imagine them sleeping on camp beds in St. Peter's.
I mean, those gold thrones don't make very nice beds.
No, not at all. All right, Ben, time for the sport. Let's not mess around. I know I've been wasting your time already. Here it is, everything you need to know from Ben Karpinski in the sport. By the way, how's your dad?
Yeah, he's good. He gets a flight today.
Yay.
Yeah, he managed to get a flight today. So he should be home tomorrow sometime. 36 days until the Olympics. And speaking
you
of...
You keep telling us this, like by now we should be excited.
Well, he's just keep hammering away. So 36 days until the Olympics, and to use another even bigger number, 70 million. That is what the National Lottery has given to SASCOC. This is basically to guaranteed brilliant at Rio 2016 and beyond. But what I'd really like to know, call me a cynical git if you want, how much of that $70 million will actually get to the athletes after Gideon Sam and all his cronies have had a bit of a wash of it? It's a nice thought that the National Lottery's money can go to good, but their track record is disastrous. The corruption, the mishandling of athletes, oh, it's just not very good. And it's the same old tired old Muppets that are in this whole Sascock thing. So I wish you all the best for that $70 million to go and stay $70 million. After everyone's had a bit of a eat of the pie. Leanne Pace, she is South Africa's best golfer, Gareth. Guess, uh-huh. Guess what she's just done?
What? Tell me.
Pulled out of the Olympics.
Now,
as I was saying, it'd be really great if a golfers just gave real reasons for why they're pulling out of the Olympics. No other athletes are doing it. The golfers are all going, I need a family, blah, 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 blah. Adam Scott, though, Aussie Adam Scott, he doesn't care. He just said, look, the format's crap. There's no way that people thought about this in the professional game. Every other athlete goes to the Olympics. This is the pinnacle of their sporting thing, right? So all their schedules are built up to go to this thing, so it makes a lot of sense. With pro golfers, it's like shoehorned into their schedule. They've got to change everything. And I'm not saying I fully agree with Adam Scott. I believe all these pampered pros can make an exception to their schedules. But his point is that we are professionals, right? We plan these things accordingly. We know what we do year in, year out, and this is how we get success. So he's saying is, you know, bollocks this format. It's just another 72-hole stroke play tournament with a weakened field. Where's the incentive? It's useless. It has to be for the amateurs. It must be the pinnacle of the amateur game, and that is how you get it going in golf. I totally agree with him. We've been saying the amateur thing for quite a while now. And again, also have amateur golfers there because they're less fat than real golfers. You know, we still want to have people that look like athletes in the Olympics. So if you've got 45-year-olds spreading dad bods, which I think was the big problem for me as well with the golf going in. So well done, Adam Scott. The only golfer that actually just put his cock on block and said, look, tournament schedule's crap, and just give it to the amateurs. That's what it should be. Regardless of what happens in Rio, where more golfers pulling out every single week, it's still going to be in the next games in Tokyo because they've signed a 2-year Olympic deal.
But are all these pullouts just from the golfers? Are the yep. sports being affected by pullouts?
I still haven't seen or heard of anyone pulling out of the marathon because they've got Zika virus.
Okay.
Fears and stuff. No, it's just the golfers. Into the football and Sundowns' brilliant win yesterday, CAF Champions League. They beat Enyimba from Nigeria 2-1. Really, really good week for Sundowns because Pitso Mosamani has also extended his contract at Sundowns for another 4 years. Now, if you stay in this Champions League, it's a really big deal. The Sundowns off to a great start. They've got 3 log points now and happy, happy days. Shocker you posted on that. But the big talk right now, of course, is the Euros. And tonight we'll see Portugal versus Poland. That is the first one, 9 o'clock tonight, SA time. So what to look out for there? Well, Portugal, surprise winners in that quarterfinal against Croatia. Sorry, in the last 16 against Croatia. Mm-hmm. They were pretty average during the pool stages. Poland did just enough to get through and beat Switzerland on penalties. So this game is going to be very evenly matched. Poland's star striker, Lewandowski, he hasn't even fired yet. So I'm thinking you should go with Poland on this one. Portugal, lots of pressure on the rest of the team to even try and get the ball to Ronaldo. And even then, there's no guarantees. So that's a big one. And that is tonight. Tomorrow, Wales versus Belgium. But we'll get into that later because we have to get into Super Rugby. Just 3 rounds left now. Now, Super Rugby was that tournament that you were sort of semi-not watching before the international break. And now it's going to be a tournament that you're semi-not going to watch for the next sort of 6 weeks because we're into the crunch stage. So if you do care, here's how the South African group looks right now. The Lions are the best SA team. They've got 42 points. The next best SA team is the Stormers. They're on 36, then followed by the Sox, 35, and then you've got the Bulls. So what that means in a qualification sense is that right now, as the log stands, the Stormers, the Lions, and the Sharks will go through to the final 6. Now that is because, this whole brilliant system is that if you top your country's division, you go through, even though you've got far fewer points than New Zealand teams. We all know what that thing works out to be. So, 3 games, 3 rounds left. Lions, of course, are without Warren Whiteley, which is a big problem for them because he is their talisman, their inspirational captain. If you look at the Australasian group, well, the Crusaders are way ahead there because the Brumbies are, because they're Australian, they're second, even though they've got 34 points to Crusaders 45. The Chiefs are in third on 42. The Hurricanes are on 40 and the Highlanders are on 38. So those are your qualification teams. What's it looks for in the fixtures for this weekend? Friday, that is tomorrow, Chiefs versus Crusaders. It gets together with a huge bang. The two best teams in the tournament right now played at the Chiefs country. So that's 9:35 tomorrow. Then we've got the Brumbies versus the Reds, a big all-Australian derby, 11:45. Every team, basically, in the Super Rugby is playing this weekend, so it's just non-stop rugby. It really is non-stop. Saturday, from 7:15 onwards, we've got the Sunwolves versus the Waratahs. You've got the Hurricanes versus the Blues at 9:35. Rebels take on the Stormers. The Stormers are away for a two-match Aussie tour right now. That'll be 11:45. The team is missing a few of their stars. There's Joan De Jong and Cheslin Kolbe away on Olympic duty. They haven't pulled up because of Zika. Frans Malherbe's got a neck injury. But Skalkberger will be captaining the Stormers, so they'll take on the Rebels at 11:45. The Cheetahs are taking on the Force in Bloemfontein at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And the Lions versus Sharks at 5:10. Now, this should be the game of the weekend, but Lions are missing a few players. Sharks missing a few players. It'd be nice to think that there was going to be a Janshees versus Lambie matchup. Not going to happen, unfortunately. Anyway, that game will still be pretty good. 10 minutes past 5. Kings versus the Highlanders. That's at 7:20. Don't expect too much out of that one, other than the Highlanders winning. And then the Jaguars, they will host the Bulls. That'll be late at night. So if you're watching rugby throughout the day and you have a nice boozy braai, try stay awake for that one if you are a Bulls fan.
All right.
In other rugby news, Johan Kirsten, who many believe is exactly what the Springbok backline needs right now. Sorry, I'm slurring my words a bit. I've got new teeth. Johan Kirsten extends his stay at Racing. Okay, his French club, that is 2020, is what his contract is extended to. That's a lot of euros, huh? Good for you, Johan Kirsten. That's lots of money. You're no doubt going to make a failed Boerslocker Flow contestant very happy one of these days with all your money. In cricket, England wrapped up their one-day series against Sri Lanka yesterday. Pretty up-and-down series. The game was washed out. Rain mostly affected it. It started out with a tie, but England forged through, and they won that one 2-0 in the end. So, tennis yesterday. Djokovic, he was straight sets winner over some left-handed guy. Marcus Willis took on Federer in centre court, the match everybody wanted to watch. Willis was shaking like a shitting dog in the beginning. He lost the first set 6-love. He then kind of got his feet, and he got a standing ovation for winning a game.
I hate it when they do that. So patronizing.
Well, you got to kind of look at it for what it is, Mubs. He was never ever going to win this match, right? This Marcus Willis, apparently he's been hitting the sauce for quite a few years. He was a very talented youngster, but he just couldn't give a shit. Like, he was just partying, and, you know, he was wasting his talent. And then it all came together now. He's 26. He knows he has to, like, you know, get his stuff together in life.
Right.
So he's more focused. And you could just see, like, it was so interesting watching this match because you got Federer. Even though Federer's best years are behind him, here is a pro on grass, okay? He knows what he's doing. He knows the angles. He knows how to play the cuts. All these kind of things. His footwork is impeccable. Then you get this Marcus Willis guy. He's just having a bender, right? His footwork is nowhere. He's caught wanting here and there. He tries tactics that don't work, but he keeps trying them again. And it's so interesting. You know, watching a guy like this makes you realize how good the top guys really are. But all credit to Willis, though. After losing that first set, 6-love, he did fight back a little bit. He lost the next two, 6-3, 6-4. And it was great entertainment, and the local crowd really, really enjoyed it. So, you know, who knows? This could be the kick up the arse he needed. Just stop partying and stop trying to think that he's just going to coast through life. But one of the greatest lines throughout the entire match was the commentator goes, Marcus Willis, you can have him for £30 an hour because he is a teaching pro. So if you want an hour coaching lesson, Marcus Willis, £30.
Okay, there cheapest chips.
Cheapest chips. But what an occasion for him to play on centre court and just to play a match against Roger Federer. So Federer looked pretty good, 6-love, 6-3, 6-4. Radwanska, Kvitova and Eugenie Bouchard, they're all through in the ladies' draw. Today we'll see Julien Beletar against Kaina Shikori on the centre court, and then Yen Sun Liu will take on Andy No Smiles Murray. That is your big centre court action today. And then Gabi Muguruza, she'll take on Yana Kepetova.
Muguruza.
Kepelova, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Finally, before we run out of time, golf for the weekend. It is a huge weekend for golf, not because people are celebrating not going to the Olympics, but because we've got the WGC event, the Bridgestone at Firestone, right? Now, this is a huge event, and there's, I think, 5 WGC events around the whole year, okay? So there's major money. Nothing but the best golfers in the world play in this. It's like as strong as a major field, basically. But the European Tour, because of the whole Olympics, there's a scheduling problem now between the French Open and the WGC. So what the European Tour have done is they said, okay, we're not sanctioning this event. So if you go play there as a European, you're not getting any Ryder Cup points. So what they're actually doing is they're then having double points for the French Open. Now, the French Open is the 100th playing this week. And it's also the course they're playing at here will be the host course for the 2018 Ryder Cup. So Europe's best are going to stick with the European Tour event this weekend. Double points for Ryder Cup qualifications here. And then you'll see basically just a handful of European players going to Akron, Ohio for the Bridgestone. But if you play in this Bridgestone event, right, 61 places people are qualified for. Slightly smaller field because the Europeans have chosen not to play it. If you finish last, absolutely stone dead last, you rock up there and you pull out your cock in the first tee and try to swing with that, you will still make $50,500 this week.
Wow.
Just for coming last in this
good
event.
Money.
How I wish I never threw away golf as a young idiot. Anyway, my regrets aren't your worries. French Open this weekend, WGC this weekend on the European American Tour. Big weekend of rugby, big weekend of football, big weekend of golf, and there's so much tennis. Plus, the Tour de France, that starts on Saturday. Gareth, I know you can't wait.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. All right, Ben, thank you. Now we're going to get to Anthea and the money shot in a moment. We don't have Justice today. He's in such demand ahead of these elections that we're going to go to the polls for in August that he is flying around the country like a madman, but he will be on tomorrow. So if you've been, especially if you've set your alarm and you're ready to go for Justice, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news and disappointing news, but he will be on tomorrow, not today. Justice is unable to join us this morning because he's on a plane. He will be back tomorrow, though. Here's Anthea with Look at Your Money.
Here I come for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right. Anthea, I thought before you go into discussing what happened yesterday on the markets and how everything's looking, I thought we'd take a quick listen to what Trump's economic policy is and then have your comments after that. Do you want to hear this?
Sure.
All right. Let's take a listen. This is what Donald Trump would do to fix the American economy. All right.
If Trump wins in November, he says he will call China a currency manipulator. He claims the US has suffered from a flood of cheap Chinese imports, and the way to stop this is by increasing import tariffs on Chinese goods. This protectionist policy would aim to stop US manufacturing moving abroad, therefore provide more jobs for American people. But history tells us that protectionism doesn't always work. Many say that the Great Depression was caused by this ill-begotten economic policy. Trump also plans to be tough on immigration. He plans to send home 11 million undocumented immigrants. The move will then keep more jobs for so-called real Americans. But others say that this could trigger economic slowdown as menial jobs are left undone. Cutting taxes and streamlining the tax system makes Trump's third big policy. If a US citizen earns less than $25,000, they would have to pay no income tax at all. Trump would also cut corporate income tax to 15%. So how would Trump pay for these cuts? He says broad economic growth and the closing of corporate tax loopholes would fund them. But critics say this tax policy would see federal revenues fall by $9.5 trillion in the first decade alone.
What do you think of that, Anthea? How does it sound to you?
Well, it sounds a bit crazy, but maybe it's just because it's coming out of Trump's mouth. But it has been shown that some of the policies that he wants to implement are actually good for growth. So it's not all bad. So that's the irony of kind of what is going on at the moment, because Hillary Clinton, for example, she would be much more restrictive and controlling on banks' policies and that sort of thing. So we were talking about this the other day in the office, actually. I don't think it'll work. I don't think what Trump wants to do works. Although if he does come into power, I'm definitely buying Caterpillar shares because he wants to build a wall. That's probably going to be my big call.
It's going to be the greatest wall ever. Oh, boy. All right. Now, let's get back to reality and to our problems here. Before we just take a massive glance at the economy as a whole, let's just focus in on the markets yesterday. Another good day.
An incredible day. Mm. So 2 days in a row, I really was not expecting this. So if the overreaction on the downside caught me by surprise, this two-day bounce even more so. I mean, I was expecting a lot more turmoil, volatility from the stock markets. So the FTSE 100 is now slightly higher than where it closed on Thursday evening pre-Brexit.
So in other words, this and Brexit really was, as I said on Monday, a storm in a teacup.
Well, I actually want to clarify something here, because the point is that the FTSE 100 index is quite heavily weighted to the export stocks. And so for people like us South Africans, we understand this because we know rand hedge stocks. So now suddenly investors are looking for pound hedge stocks.
Right.
And if you look at the other index, the FTSE 250, it's a slightly, well, it's quite actually a much broader metric of the UK economy. And that is actually still 8% lower than Friday's, than Thursday's close.
But not by the margin that it was on Friday.
Absolutely not, no. Okay. Definitely. So, but we knew Friday was oversold, right? We knew it was overdone. It was a knee-jerk reaction. And kind of, you saw it kind of translate into stocks. So Barclays, Standard Chartered on Thursday morning, they were down 34%. And we questioned it. We said, is this company really worth only 66% of what it was worth 24 hours ago? And the answer probably is no.
Right.
I still don't really know the right level. You know, I don't know how this all plays out. Kind of what are the real fundamental values of these shares? At the moment, it's all emotive.
Okay.
Unfortunately for us, the all share is still 3%, just over 3% lower than where we closed on Thursday. So our market hasn't recovered yet. But the rand, my goodness, how's this for good news?
Uh-huh.
The rand is now trading below 20 to the sterling.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I haven't seen that for a while. And then even against the dollar, it's now 14.82. So the rand very strong at the moment.
Would you be buying pounds right now?
I think I would, actually.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I think I certainly would.
The rand is up against every currency in the world except Brazil's real.
How is that possible? They're in the toilet financially.
They must have made a very incremental. They made a 1.3% value increase against the rand, but I mean that's coming off a very low base as well, right?
Exactly.
I mean, 4.57 Brazilian real to the rand. So it's a minor up. But I mean, we're looking at 14.83 to the dollar, 19.87 to the pound, 16.47 to the euro. That's great.
All good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
So what? Exactly. We don't often see this. And what's happening now? Kind of why we're seeing this bounce in markets? I think it's because starting kind of mid-July, on the 14th of July, the Bank of England meet. On the 21st, the ECB meet. Soon after that, the US Fed meet, then the Bank of Japan meet. So these central banks have all got big meetings. And we've gone from talking about the US Fed raising interest rates and when they're going to raise interest rates to some people saying that they might even cut interest rates because of Brexit. And there's no doubt kind of the memory is coming back to the market, because in 2009, you saw, and after that, you saw central banks just really putting forward accommodative policy, so lowering interest rates and pumping cash or quantitative easing. So I don't know if this is supposed to be the new normal or if this is all going to come back to haunt us, because, you know, if you're pumping cash into the economy and you're keeping interest rates low, the impact should be higher inflation. And we've all been expecting this since 2009, but it hasn't translated. And is this the new normal, or do we see hyperinflation later on? I guess that's the concern. But for now, investors and traders are going, you don't want to be on the wrong side of central banks, which is why we're seeing these markets bounce like this.
And Anthea, will we ever get back to the stock values that we had in companies like Capital & Counties before the Brexit?
Oh, yeah, so, you know, so, okay, so the FTSE is now higher than Thursday's close, but Capital & Counties is still 30% down. I don't think it's worth less than 30%, but I'm not sure it's going to get back to where it was. So I'm still sitting on my Capital & Counties. This is stuck to me like glue. And I really don't want to sell down here. I'd rather be patient and wait for a little bit of a bounce before it does. So Investec's another one of those, you know, kind of it fell maybe, what was it, 20%, had a little 6% bounce, and now yesterday it was slightly negative again. It really is about kind of which sectors are going to do well and which are not at the moment.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll wait for your instruction on this one. No pressure.
Okay. And then NASPERS had a nice little 3% up move yesterday as well. I mean, so you know, last week they reported on Friday after the market closed, pretty much in line with what was expecting, but the pay TV was disappointing. I told you about that. But then yesterday, NASPERS announced that they'd finalized a $40 million funding round for their Latin American mobile e-commerce business called Movil. Actually, I'm not sure whether to pronounce that Movil or Movile. That's how it's spelled. So they already, NASPERS already makes 70% of their revenue from internet businesses. And I think yesterday was just a confirmation that they are continuing to roll out their strategy on being really an investment, an internet investment company rather than, you know, a print company where they started many, many years ago.
All right.
And then Asia's positive this morning, so long may this last.
Okay, well, that's great news. Let's keep waiting. Let's keep waiting for an uptick everywhere.
Yeah,
everyone could do with an uptick. Can't we all win? I mean, doesn't the rising tide raise all boats? Come on.
If you're in the right stocks.
All right. Well, Anthea, if we're not, you know who we're going to blame? You.
Sure, I got that.
All right. Terms and conditions apply, everybody. Don't, you know, let's just be clear about this. Anthea is not here to give you guaranteed returns, all right? She's here to tell you what she's doing and what she would do for her clients, but you're on your own, just like in every other aspect of your life. Nobody else is going to take care of you, and you can't blame anyone else when things don't work out for you. It's all up to you.
Have you been talking to my compliant lady?
No, but I just think that people need to know that. You know, a lot of us get caught up in this stuff, and we think, oh, well, if we just follow what this person's doing on the stock market, then we'll be fine. And then when it doesn't go their way, they want to blame someone.
True.
Yeah, I get the same I get the same with sports tips.
Yeah, exactly. When Ben tells us that we should support a certain team and then it ends up losing, people get very upset.
Oh, talk about that. Ben, have you seen that Sun International have released SunBet, which is an online sports betting program?
I've been going for a while with SunBet. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, it's been something that's it's been on their books for a long time.
Yeah, they're one of like four or five major players in the SA market.
All right, I thought it was very interesting. I think they're definitely going more internet based and also online gambling compared to kind of the bricks and mortar stuff.
All right,
guys.
Thank you, Anthea. Have
That's
a lovely
me.
Day.
Thanks.
Cool.
Bye.
There we go. There's Anthea Gardner. A look at the markets. It's just after 7 o'clock. No Justice Malala today. I've got bad news. He's on a plane, which means that he is now beginning his descent, and he will be landing in some part of the country to market his terrific book and also to give political analysis. He is the best, according to yesterday's Frankly Speaking, where he was a guest on the line. Everybody agreed that Justice Malala is the number one political analyst in South Africa. And you know what? When you've got the best political analyst in South Africa joining you once a week, as we do here on CliffCentral.com, sometimes he's on a plane, sometimes he's in a foreign country, sometimes he's in a different city, and he can't always join us in person. So, to get Justice, you'll have to wait one more day. We'll have him on tomorrow morning, and I promise you, the lead-up to the election is going to mean that Justice is going to be in huge demand, which means that we'll occasionally have to just be a little bit patient and move him to another day here and there. But as far as is humanly possible, Justice Malala is on every Thursday giving us the latest in the burning platform. So, in case you're wondering where he is today, he is not in the studio, but he will be in tomorrow, and he'll give us the full analysis on the week's issues. All right, that's all coming up. I can't play that. That's I think I played that the other day. Let me see here.
Just please not Sean Paul again.
You don't like Sean Paul, huh?
No. I do.
We haven't heard Sean Paul in a while.
No, we played it the other day, I think.
No, you've played every day. That's what I like.
Oh, come on.
More than diamonds, more than pearls. Yes, okay, get it. Yes.
Look at you, Ben. All right, let's get some Yo Gotti. Here we go. All right. In a moment or two, we'll check in on the news with Mabale. Don't be there fucking with your dog. CliffCentral.com.